Hello, my friends. Today's wrong question is, will AI work? I've been hearing versions of this a lot lately. Smart people, people I respect, dismissing AI as just another tech innovation that'll destroy some jobs but will absolutely create others. Or some people talk about it as a bubble that will fizzle out or initiate some sort of massive market crash. But will AI work is still the wrong question. The better question is, what happens if it doesn't? Because here's what I've come to believe after spending the last several episodes going deep on money, debt, and the global financial system. We don't really have a choice about whether AI works. AI has to work because we need it to. Today, I'll tell you why. I'm Josh Allen Dykstra. I've spent 20 years helping leaders of all kinds see invisible systems so they can live and work with clarity. This is the Hello Tomorrow podcast. Let's go. Two episodes ago, we talked about how money is a promise and how the promises we make with government-created money only hold up if we create real value with them. I called these Apple-making investments versus Apple-wasting investments because we created a fictional town with 10 apples to learn about inflation. It's a whole thing. If you haven't listened to the money episode, please do. It's long, but worth it. I promise. So what are Apple-making investments? Well, roads, schools, clean energy, healthcare. They're things that grow productive capacity and make the future substantively better. What are Apple-wasting investments? Tax cuts for people hoarding money, billionaires, endless wars, interest payments on old bad debt, excessive global military empires. Those are real resources consumed, real money created, but zero new productive capacity. Here's the sad reality about the last several decades of the American economy. We have been spectacularly, historically, almost heroically good at apple wasting. The U.S. has spent roughly $8 trillion on post-9/11 wars. We've cut taxes on the billionaire class repeatedly while wages for the rest of us stagnated. We spend nearly $1 trillion every year on a bloated military-industrial complex that hasn't passed an audit. We've accumulated nearly $40 trillion in national debt, much of it funded by promises about future productivity that haven't yet materialized. Meanwhile, the petrodollar, the invisible architecture that lets us export dollars instead of dealing with the consequences, is showing some serious cracks. All of it is pointing to a world where our free lunch is ending. The bill is coming due. The most plausible path out of this, without a catastrophic reckoning, is a genuine, significant step change in productivity. Higher taxes, spending cuts, debt restructuring would work too, but none of those are politically survivable at the scale we need, which is why everybody, whether they admit it or not, is quietly betting on a productivity miracle. Which brings us to AI. AI is the most plausible candidate we've got for this kind of productivity leap. Look around. What else is big enough? Clean energy. It's transformative, but it wouldn't be a productivity multiplier across every sector simultaneously. Biotech? Promising, but probably too narrow. Robotics? Very real, but probably too slow, and probably also dependent on AI. As far as I can tell, AI is the only option in sight that has the potential to multiply productive capacity across essentially every domain at once. Medicine, law, engineering, education, logistics, science, software, manufacturing, and it could do it simultaneously and possibly within a decade. That's not hype. That's just the actual scale of what general purpose technologies do when they mature. Now, we've seen a few things like this before. The printing press changed the entire world. The steam engine restructured the entire economy. Electricity was the operating system of the 20th century. AI is that kind of general purpose technology. The legitimate question isn't whether it will be transformative. It's how transformative it will be, how fast will that transformation happen, and most importantly, who will reap the benefits. Now, that last part is where it gets complicated. History teaches us some important things about these kinds of productivity step changes. We know they work, we know they generate enormous new wealth, and we know that usually that wealth flows almost entirely to whoever owns the technology. The Industrial Revolution was the greatest productivity leap in human history so far. It also created the most miserable working conditions humans had experienced in centuries. Child labor, 16-hour days, dangerous factories, criminally low wages, while a small class of owners accumulated unprecedented fortunes. It took decades of labor organizing, regulation, and political struggle before the productivity gains of industrialization reached workers in the form of shorter hours and safer conditions and rising wages. The computing revolution of the last 40 years followed a similar pattern. Productivity gains were real and enormous, but wages for most workers decoupled from productivity in the 1970s and have never reconnected. The gains went to capital, to shareholders, to the people who owned the software and the platforms and the data. There are two examples. Third time's the charm, right? Let's hope so, because this time, the productivity step change is potentially bigger than both previous ones combined, and we're starting from a position of already historically extreme inequality. If AI follows the historical pattern, and gains flow to capital, and workers get the disruption without the dividend, we won't just get more inequality. We'll get the complete economic collapse I talked about in Who Buys Your Stuff Robots, because nobody can afford anything. If AI eliminates or even substantially degrades tens of millions of jobs, while the productivity gains accumulate at the top, the consumer base the entire economy depends on gets hollowed out, the billionaire's foundation becomes a sinkhole, and the system destroys itself. That is not a distant theoretical doomsday scenario. That is just the logical endpoint of the current trajectory. Now let's put this back in the context of finances. The U.S. has nearly $40 trillion in national debt. We have a petrodollar system under pressure. We have a military empire that costs almost $1 trillion a year to maintain. If you're curious, that's more than what the next 9 countries on Earth spend on their militaries combined. Oh, and by the way, the interest payments on our debt now exceed that insane defense budget. The most plausible path out of genuine financial disaster is productivity growth. Real, sustained, significant productivity growth that expands the economy faster than the debt grows. AI could deliver that. The models suggest it could add trillions in global GDP growth. But, and this is the part that stresses me the F out, if those gains concentrate at the top, they won't help with the actual problem. A billionaire's wealth going from $100 billion to $500 billion doesn't expand the consumer economy. It doesn't pay down public debt. It doesn't rebuild the middle class. It doesn't grow any new apples at frickin' all. So, for the purpose of filling the hole we've dug, concentrated productivity gains at the top are as economically useless as no productivity gains. What we need are distributed productivity gains, gains that flow through the economy broadly enough to actually expand the consumer base, increase tax revenues, and stabilize our financial system. Which means the right question isn't, will AI work? The right question is, will AI work for everyone? Right now, nothing in our current system guarantees that it will. In fact, everything in the current incentives points the other way. So what could we possibly do about this? My argument here is actually conservative in the original sense of that word, meaning it conserves the system rather than blowing it up. The first thing to understand is that the public, you and me and our parents and their parents, we funded the research that made AI possible. I'm not being rhetorical. This is literally true. The internet, DARPA, the foundational neural network research, public universities and government grants, the training data that cracked open modern deep learning, an NSF-funded researcher at Stanford, voice recognition. We funded the thing that became Siri and every AI assistant that's followed. Decades of publicly funded basic research handed to private companies to privatize the gains. That's been the playbook of capital for a while. I get it. But we have to realize AI is different. Past tech revolutions were sectoral. They killed specific job sectors while creating new adjacent ones. The printing press hurt scribes, but created publishers. The railroads killed canals, but built new industries and whole new cities. The pattern held for 2 centuries. Disruption always also brought creation. Every previous disruption created an adjacent labor market to absorb the displaced. You lost your job, but you learned a new skill. Crossed the street, got a different job. The previous sector may have died, but you survived. None of that happened overnight, and it was still painful, but it has been working this way. AI is the first disruption where the adjacent labor market is itself being automated simultaneously. We've never seen a tech revolution that is this omnisectoral. This one is coming for everything, everywhere, all at once. Well, white collar first, but robotics are coming faster than we think for blue collar jobs too. When we combine these facts, there's one logical conclusion. The public needs to have a shared ownership claim on some portion of AI returns. Alaska already figured this out with oil. Every Alaskan resident receives an annual dividend from the Alaska Permanent Fund, a share of the state's oil revenues. It's not charity, it's a dividend as a citizen from a commonly owned resource. Norway built the world's largest sovereign wealth fund on the same principle, over $1 trillion in there, owned by the Norwegian people, generating returns that fund public services and retirement for every citizen. The precedent exists. The logic is sound. The only thing missing to do this with AI is the collective political will. An AI dividend, some mechanism by which the productivity gains of AI are partially distributed to the citizens that funded the foundational research, isn't redistribution. It's a dividend on a public investment. And more importantly, economically speaking, this might be the only thing that prevents the consumer collapse that makes the entire system unravel. The math is simple. Distributed gains keep the economy circulating. Concentrated gains don't. If we want AI to actually fill the hole our leaders have dug, we now need those leaders to create a mechanism to distribute the gains. A shared wealth fund is the least radical version of that mechanism I can imagine. We all helped build this thing, and we should all own parts of it. Regular listeners know I think about the future in terms of three paths. Path zero is the one we can't let happen. That's the one where we just keep going on the current trajectory. Incentives never change. Extraction wins. This is the don't look up future. This path sucks. We can't allow it. Path A is survivable, simpler, more local, lower complexity, but genuinely brutal for a lot of people on the way there. Path B is our path to Star Trek. Abundant clean energy, AI coordinating complexity at scale, a civilization organized around flourishing rather than extraction. Now, at this point, some people ask me, but what if AI is a bubble? Well, historically, what you need to know is that general purpose technologies have never been killed by their bubble. Railroads survived their bubble. The internet survived .com. Electricity, automobiles, radio. The financial fantasies collapsed, but the tech infrastructure remained. The technology always survives. Somebody picks it up and keeps building. So, will AI work? It's actually the wrong question for another reason. It's not just wrong because of the stakes. It's also the wrong question because the answer is almost certainly yes. At least in some form, to some degree, AI is going to work. The research and the capital and the infrastructure are too far along for the technology itself to disappear. This means the real variable for our three different paths was never the technology itself. The real variables are distribution and ownership. Who owns the gains when AI delivers? That is the question that decides which path we get to be on. AI that works but concentrates gains at the top, that's path zero. The consumer base collapses, the system destroys itself, with AI just accelerating the race to the bottom. If we're forced into simplification before the gains can be distributed, that's path A. The technology survives, it always does, but the disruption reshapes the economy faster than the dividend gets to you. Right? I know, for those of us who have time to listen to podcasts, simpler sounds really nice, but we have to remember, this path is remarkably difficult for potentially billions of people. Now, if we have AI that works and distributes gains broadly, that's the accelerant for path B. The productivity step change actually solves the hole we've dug. The consumer base stays intact. The system doesn't eat itself. This path also allows us to create infrastructure to help lift, I'm going to say, the rest of the globe out of poverty. So here's the reframe. We don't need AI to work. We need AI to work for everyone. Those aren't the same thing. And right now, Nothing in our current system guarantees the second one. In fact, everything in our current system, the incentive structures, the ownership patterns, the quarterly earnings obsession, all points the other way. So it turns out, the people dismissing AI as overhyped aren't wrong that there's hype, but they're very wrong about the over part. The importance of AI in our current global story is actually underhyped. We need AI to work, and we need it to work for everyone. The technology is coming. The disruption is coming. The gains are coming. The only question is, coming for whom? To my leader friends, here's today's leadership lens. First, AI adoption probably isn't optional in your company, but your strategy around it matters enormously. Organizations that use AI as a cost-cutting tool, an excuse to reduce headcount and extract more margin, they're accelerating the consumer collapse their business depends on. Use whatever influence you have, at whatever level you're at, to build a strategy that uses AI to grow and expand, not shrink and cut. Second, your workers are carrying ambient societal anxiety about this, whether they're talking about it or not. The leaders who name this directly, who say out loud, here's what's happening, here's what this means for us, here's how we're thinking about it, will retain trust through the disruption. The ones who stay silent will lose that trust. You don't need all the answers. You just need the courage to have the conversation. If you want more on this topic, watch last week's episode. Third, pay attention to what happens to the space AI creates in your organization. The temptation and the institutional default will be immediately to fill any recaptured time with more work. Resist that. The capacity AI frees up for your people shouldn't be seen as a productivity bonus to be respent. It's an opportunity to do the thing organizations are most starved for right now. Sense-making. Understanding the moment. Building judgment. Protect that space. That's where wisdom lives. And wisdom is the meta skill your organization needs most for the next decade. Here's my optimistic rebellion challenge to you for this week. I want you to find out where your congressional representative stands on AI and productivity distribution. Not on AI regulation in the abstract, not on tech and innovation generally. Specifically, do they understand that the gains from AI need to circulate through the economy broadly? Or do they think the market will sort it out on its own? Most of them probably haven't thought about this at all. Now, that could be good. It means the window to shape their thinking is still open. So call or email them. Ask what they know. Share this episode if you want. The Shared Wealth Fund debate is coming, and we need our leaders to properly understand the stakes. You can go to congress.gov/members/find-your-member and enter your zip code. You'll find your reps, click contact. I'll also put a sample email you can copy paste if you want in the description below. The way all this is going to work with AI has not yet been decided, but that's not a reason for comfort. It's a reason for urgency. The promises that hold the world together are being renegotiated right now, monetarily, geopolitically, technologically, all at once. Whether we participate in that renegotiation or not, it is happening. But to get a future we actually want to live in means we must show up with a vision for what the new promises need to look like. That starts with us demanding that AI works for all of us, not someday, now, while we still have time to build the new systems that make this possible. This has been the Hello Tomorrow podcast, where we cut through the noise, expose the systems shaping our future, and leave with more clarity about what comes next. If this episode helped you understand the true stakes of AI, please share it with someone you care about. And if you're thinking, I wish our organizational leaders were having more deep systems level conversations, well, that's exactly the work I do as a keynote speaker and advisor. Because when leaders have clarity, everything works better. You can find me at joshallan.com, joshallan.com, or reach me anytime at future@hellotomorrowpodcast.com. If you'd like to be an early reader of my upcoming book, Work Will Kill Us All, An Optimist's Guide to the Future, sign up at workwillkillusall.com. Thanks for being here. See you next week.